Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Where did you find all these girls? And they're all fiddling and playing, and you're a wonderful orchestra. I play with the brass band, and so when I hear an orchestra like that, I just go, whoa, and thank you very much for playing so well today. But I think they need a couple of euphoniums. And yeah, come on, you guys, you know, start blowing your trumpets and things, and come and join them. Wonderful. And then I want to thank our man who plays that Dutch instrument over there. You know, you've got one of the best organs in the world. Did you know that? That Johannes is 8 years old, and it came from Holland, and they are the best organs in Europe. And so to have one here is just, it makes me feel good all over. Yes. Now, this morning, there is a man called Jacob. He has never had that name before until today. So I need Jacob up here. And this man's as blind as a bat, so just don't take too much notice if he wobbles a bit all over the place. And there's another man called Joseph, and he's never been called that before. Yeah, you just sit down and be very blind. Thank you. Now, Joseph, he had two sons. Can you try and find two sons as you come? You see, they have no idea this was going to happen. Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. You see, this is the children's story. Now, Joseph, would you bring your two sons up here, please? Because Jacob is really old now. And one of the things that old people do, and that is that they bless the young ones. And you're getting too far away. Joseph, you can bring them over and you ask your father to bless them. Yes, and then bring them round. One can stand over here and one over there. Okay. Now, you explain which one is Manasseh, because Manasseh was the old one. Yes. And then you have the younger one. What was his name?
Ephraim.
Yes, yeah, so you're Ephraim and you're Manasseh, okay? Now, because you're oldest one, you will get the birthright blessing. And that comes with the right hand, doesn't it? So, blind Jacob, you'll have to put your hand upon Manasseh and then put his hand, because he doesn't know where Ephraim's head is, so please. And so then Joseph asks Jacob to do the blessing. And then Jacob does something totally, I mean, it's never been mentioned in the Bible before, but here it is. What has he done? He's crossed his hands, and now the birthright blessing is coming onto Ephraim. And what do?
Trying.
Yes. And so Jacob gives the birthright blessing. And what did Jacob say? He said, no. He said, it's all right. I know what I'm doing. Because he too shall be a great one, but this one here will receive the birthright blessing. Thank you very much. Thank you very much too. You can open your eyes and go back now. We'd hate you to fall down. Thank you very much. Would Would you open your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 49. And there are two things that if I was a pastor here, I'd want you to do. I would want you to bring your Bible every Sabbath. This business of preaching off the wall and so on, that's only for people who can't read anymore. But we've got to get used to opening the Bible and see what's actually in there, because that's where the truth is found. And so bring your Bible, and then every sermon should have in it a verse from Revelation. Is that all right? From now on? Yes. And so when you get to the book of Revelation, you know that my sermon is nearly finished. All right. And here, in Genesis chapter 49, are Jacob's last word to all of his sons. Because he got all of his sons. Here he is lying in bed, and he's as blind as, and one after another, the son comes to him. How many sons did he have? How many? 12. And so he would have spent a bit of time blessing all these boys. But to go through and see him blessing one after another, and wow. And this is where our service today will go through what Jacob had to say to his boys. Verse 2. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Now, Israel was a new name for Jacob, because Jacob means deceiver, whereas Israel means Israel, the Prince of God. And so here the Prince of God is now speaking to his boys and saying, boys, this is the way it is. Reuben. You notice the first son was called Reuben. Now, whenever you read Ben in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word for son. For son. And here when Reuben was born, he goes, wow, a son. He was so pleased. I know when I had my first one, that was Ben, the one that's he's in America at present, but he's the pastor of the Central Church in Canberra. When he was born, oh wow, something special. And we gave him a good name too, as you'll hear later. And so here, Reuben, see a son. You are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Here, Reuben, he was known as the negotiator in his house. All the brothers, if they needed some wangling and political playing to happen amongst the brothers, Reuben was there. He was the negotiator, but he made a big mistake. Verse 4, unstable as water, you shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it, he went up to my couch. And so the blessing that was given to Ishmael, not Ishmael, Manasseh and Ephraim, the blessing that was given to Ephraim should have actually have been the blessing to Reuben. But Reuben had made that big mistake, and he paid a big price. And some of us who have made big mistakes, we will pay the price too. And some of us are paying the price. But I've got good news for you. Remember that Reuben was getting a blessing. And we too. Even if we made big mistakes, we will get a blessing from God, because he wants to give us all blessings. Now, let's see if this piece of magic works. Genesis 49, Reuben, and he was the unstable as water. All right, thank you very much, guys. You're doing a good job there. Verse 5, Simeon and Levi, fancy giving two sons, their blessings at the same time. But Levi and Simeon, man, they were the ones who were the vengeful people. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my counsel enter their counsel. Let not my honour be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstring an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, when you have a look at Simeon and Levi, they were cruel and angry. But lo and behold, Levi ended up being what? The tribe of the pastors. Oh dear, are we cruel and angry? We get angry sometimes, don't we? Yeah. But here God gave a blessing to these two men and divided them. And look at the division. Because here, Levi, he was not given any portion of land. He was living amongst the people. Wherever the people went, that's where the Levites went. And the Simeon tribe and the Levi tribe, they became not only the spiritual leaders of Israel, but also the teachers. And if there's any Christian teachers here today, that's the category that you're in. That's the category that you are in. Come down to verse 8. Oh, good news. Judah, you are here. You are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on their neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion... Who's it talking about here? The lion of the... Yes. Jesus was the lion. And here he is, the father of the line of all the kings. Verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. Who was riding on a donkey? Yeah. And so here we have a blind man as old as telling what was going to happen more than 1,000 years into the future. And so we are reading a very significant part. We're reading a very significant part of what happened in the scriptures. Verse 12. Now I'll read the first before that. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of the grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth are whiter than milk. These are the things they used to eat and drink in those days. And when they ate and drank it, these men who were getting a blessing, they were thinking back to what Jacob had done to them. And then Zebulun, he shall dwell by the haven of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall adjoin Zidon. Brother St. Juice, not only are you looking at a pilot, but you're looking at a ship's captain as well. And I'd rather fly than be on a sea that has 40-foot waves, as big as the boat that we were using out in the mission field. And it is just such a blessing to come up to Kaviang and to go into the harbour, or to be at Emira and go into the little shelter that they've got there. Zebulun, he was the sort of guy that when somebody gave you a hard time or they belted you up or something, they'd go to Zebulun. And Zebulun would say, come on over here. You know, I'll look after you. Do we have people in this church who are the looker after us? Anything goes wrong, you look after, they look after you? Are you looking at each other, are you? Yeah. And, you know, we're looking at a whole family of God that's filling what's happening here. of Zebulun. And he was somebody safe. And now we're going to read about the deacons. Verse 14. Issachar is a strong donkey, lying down between two burdens. He saw that rest was good and that the land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of servants. And this is where we have in our church here the burden bearers. If you want anything done, you give it to them and you don't have to worry about it. They do it, and they do, don't they, Pastor? And one of the things that I learned as a pastor was to find out in the church which of the men and the women were the doers. Some people just whinge. Some people come up with really bright ideas, nothing's ever done. But then you've got those people who just quietly go along and they do something. Good morning, ship's captain. Yes. And this is where, you know, we have a church full of people who are real characters. And here, Issachar was one of them. 16, Dan. He shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a snake, by the way. A viper by the path that bites the horse's heels so that its rider shall fall backward. Dan, says the blind Jacob, I have waited for your salvation. You know, there are some people who you try and help them as much as you can and they keep turning away and never have anything good to say. And here we have it. Dan, the backbiter, which is very, very sad, really. Verse 19, Gad, a troop, shall tramp upon him, but he shall triumph at last. Man, there are some guys, it doesn't matter how hard life becomes, they're ordinary, but they're winners. They're the overcomers. And when you go to the book of Revelation, what do you find? Seven churches, and one of them is the overcomer. The overcomer. And then I love this next bit. Verse 20. Bread from Asher shall be rich. My wife fits into this category. You know why? Because she's the best cook. She's Asher. She's the one who's a chef, not just a cook, but a chef. And here was the one brother of the 12 who was always given the job in the kitchen, but not as the washer-upper. Somebody else did that. They were the chef and they said, this is what we will eat and this is how you prepare it and this is the way you serve it up. And you end up with it. I mean, you come here for lunch and the place is like a banquet. Well, that was Asher. Asher. And he shall yield royal dainties. The king and now our king and the queen before, they always used to eat food that was royal dainties. You go there and you go, wow, you know, we've never had anything like this before. And that's prepared by the ashes. Verse 21, Naphtali. Is a deer let loose. He uses beautiful words. What's happening in the Australian Parliament's very interesting. Because these guys and ladies, they get up and they use sweet words, don't they? See, this is the politicians. Oh, let's try Naphtali. He was a sweet talker. And we have people here in Dora Creek who are sweet talkers. They hear something and then they start talking about it and you fall for it. You think that is a really good idea. And there you are, one of the sons of Jacob. He was a sweet talker. And then Joseph, fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. Here, you've got the favourite son of Jacob. Joseph meant so much to him. And at the age of 17, we find that Joseph, behind a camel, walked on damaged legs all the way to Egypt. And instead of being a father's favourite son, he now becomes a what? A slave. You know, I'm going to have to come back here one day. Can you give me an invitation in about 2 or 3 years' time? And we'll preach on Joseph. Oh, man, what a story. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And here is the blessing being poured out before. Verse 25. By the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessing of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors. I get the impression that Jacob got a bit excited here. When he looked back over the history of Joseph, Jacob knew that everything was okay. It was in God's hand. It was in God's hands. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Wow. You see, Joseph, he was the statesman. When you looked at him, you knew that there was something special about him and that you would vote for him. You'd vote for him. Joseph. And then tail end Charlie. Oh dear. I mean, after 11 boys, were you anything special? You were just another boy, weren't you? And so here we have Benjamin. You notice that the 12 brothers, one was Reuben, and now we have Benjamin. Reuben, oh boy. And now we come to the last one, Benjamin, Ben-Yamin. Yamin, you know, I know a lot of Hebrew, don't I? I think two words so far. Ben-Yamin, the son of my right hand. Yes. Rachel's second contribution to Jacob's heritage. And here, verse 27, Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. This little kid, man, did he look after himself. He had to fight against 12 brothers to get something to eat. And he got in there. The tribe of Benjamin, when you study the Bible and you study each tribe individually, Benjamin was a very interesting tribe because they ended up being part of the soldier force of Israel. And they were taught to shoot a bow with the right hand, but they could also shoot with the left hand. And if they hit you in the left eye instead of in the right eye, they'd say they'd missed. See? And the right hand, what do you hold with that? With that you hold the sword and you hold the spear. And so his character was sort of named, his character was like his father had named him, the son of my right hand, and he was his right-handed man. And when they went to war, they put the tribe of Benjamin at the front. They were the forerunners. And the rest of Israel would cry, "After thee, O Benjamin." And then if you were the enemy, you'd better start shaking in your boots because you were going to cop something. And then you have wonderful men who were part of the tribe of Benjamin. The first king of Israel was. And then you come to the Apostle Paul, and guess what tribe he belonged to? I am a, yeah. And he was of the tribe of Benjamin. This is what he said. So it's no wonder that he was the most amazing evangelist. And so here we come to the 12 tribes of Israel. So, interestingly enough, when you go to the book of Revelation, you find them repeated all over again. Go to Revelation. Chapter 7. Here is a lineup of all the seals, one after another, until you come to the seventh seal and the sixth seal. And then verse 16 said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You see, here is a picture of the second coming. And all these people that have turned their backs on God and walked away from him, they all say, may the rocks fall on us. And then, lo and behold, here we go. Verse 1 of chapter 7. After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow. And so here is a time of peace. Saying, do not harm the earth, or the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah. You notice on the screen, right-hand side, Revelation 7. Reuben was there. 12,000 were sealed of the tribe of Gad. They were the overcomers. Of the tribe of Asher. Of the tribe of Naphtali. Of the tribe of... we'll miss one there. Zebulun and Issachar and Gad and Asher and Naphtali and Joseph and a Benjamin. They're all there. But you notice something? What do you notice? That Dan is not there. He was the backbiter. Yeah. And in his place is who? The story was Jacob gave the blessing to who? Well, where's Ephraim? There are some interesting things in the Bible, aren't there? You know, when you look at them like that, you go, where's Ephraim? And instead of that, there's Manasseh. Manasseh was the one who should have received the blessing, did not receive it, and he did not follow down the path of envy and jealousy and upset because he hadn't been chosen as the top. And a lot of our churches are spoiled by people who think that they ought to have the birthright blessing. Let them learn a lesson from Manasseh. Because you end up being in the 144,000 anyway. Manasseh ended up being a man who followed his father, Joseph. He loved God, served God, lived for others, ran Sabbath school, church, whatever they did back in those days. And here we find his name is in the 144,000. And who else? Joseph. His father had to take the place of Ephraim. Joseph, he was the son of Jacob, not Manasseh. But Manasseh was chosen by God to take the place of the backbiter. So whatever you do, don't become a backbiter where everything is wrong and whinging and complaining and going on. The 144,000 teaches us to be good and kind to others. And it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth it all because when you go to the second last chapter of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away into by the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God, out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. My brother, my sister, here this morning, this Sabbath, you and I ain't seen nothing yet. We haven't seen anything yet. What lies before us is an untold, magnificent story of eternity. What a blessing. Verse 12, also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. For you to get into the New Jerusalem, you are going to have to go in through your gate. And that's one thing that I'm upset about. You see, I'm going down the backbiting pathway now. But Beth is going to go in the Asher gate. And we're not going to go in there together because I've got to go through a different one. See, I'm a preacher, so I'm a Levite. Sorry, I think you are too. But Beth and myself have made an agreement that once we get inside the city, whatever gate she goes and whatever gate I go, we're going to meet in the middle. And here I can remember back in the 1950s when they argued endlessly over whether the 144,000 was literal or spiritual or whatever. I tell you what, 144,000 are literal and so are you. And whether you like it or not, you have to go in through one of those gates. And those gates are made out of what? Each gate is made out of one pearl. If the pearl is that great, please tell me how big is the oyster. As I said earlier, we ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm giving you the invitation that God gives to us. We'll see you in the New Jerusalem. Amen. With the 144,000. And God will decide who is going to be one of the 144,000. And if I'm not one of those, and you're not one of those, will you be happy to be with me and that great multitude that cannot be numbered like the sand of the sea? Wow. Yeah. May God bless us all as we give our hearts and our lives to him again this morning. Thanks very much, Jacob and Joseph. What do we do now? Sing the last hymn? Let's sing the last hymn.
Amen.
Oh, brother, be faithful. Number 602. And this next Sabbath, there will be an ordinance service here. And I hope that 2 weeks later, that we'll all be in the ordinance service in heaven. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you gave all of us today. And we look forward to the day when we can march into the New Jerusalem, singing the great songs of Zion and the wonderful psalm, "Lift up your gates and be everlasting door." And who is this King of glory? He is the King of glory. and that you surely are. And so take us now, I pray. Keep us as we leave this house of worship, and may the truth that has been put into our hearts today by reading your word through our eyes, may we do that in practice in our lives through the week and beyond. And so take us all. Bless us even as you have promised. We thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.